atmosphere when you get engaged. Like, she just couldn't stop smiling at him. You know, there's all these issues of why it shouldn't work, but who cares? Those are like non-issues. Those are gonna be a breath of fresh air. And very early on, we knew that we were going to need to invest in this relationship in order to make it work. I mean, nobody really goes to the engagement period, well, not many, saying, this is a bomb, you know, I just don't know how this is gonna work. Like, there's just too many challenges. You know, it's so funny because usually during the engagement period, you know, you're trying to think of these lists of expectations that you have. And there's just this little list that comes up. It's like a little one pager, you know? Is there anything else? No, I can't really think of anything else, you know, just these few things. And so, but over time, it goes from like this one pager to like this set of encyclopedias, you know? Like this list just grows and grows and grows. And so, you know, typically what can happen is, like, they kind of spiral. And, you know, you kind of feel like, well, what happened? What happened to this little list and why has it become a set of encyclopedias? So it's just funny how the expectations grow from that beginning time up until whatever point you're at now.
And maybe that's why that was the second most desired subject, right? Uh-huh. Expectations. Uh-huh. Expectations. And expectations are not a bad thing. Expectations are very important. Everybody is happier. Everything goes better when we know what's expected of us. And when our own expectations are met, we get a sense of fulfillment, right? Man, when we expect something, it happens. You know, the worst is when you go into a situation, you're expecting one thing and you get a different thing, right? And so there's not a sense of fulfillment there. But think about it. You get clear expectations at work. It's not like they say, I love this interview. You know what? We really connected, you know, and you know, I really like you as a person. So I'm sure you'll figure out what we want you to do. That's not going to happen. As the employee, when you take a position, you have expectations, right? I'm going to get this paycheck. I'm going to get this paycheck. It's funny, you start a job and you start doing the numbers as to what that first paycheck is going to be like. Okay, I'm getting paid this much an hour. Okay, then they got to take out taxes, Social Security. Okay, I work this many hours. And then, you know, if you get paid bi-weekly, sometimes you don't get paid for that full term. So you're like, okay, that first check's going to be maybe a little slim, but that next one's going to be fat, you know? But, you know, don't let it be. You know, you put in that work and then that paycheck comes up short. We're going to be struggling. Because there's nothing like that sense of fulfillment when we feel like our bank accounts are fulfilled. Can I get an amen? But there's also greater security when there are clear expectations. You know whether or not you should do this, you should do that. You know whether or not you're doing what is expected of you. So there's not a constant questioning of, is this, we ever been in a position like, is this what I'm supposed to be doing? Do they want me to do this? Should I be doing that? And that just breeds a lot of insecurity. But when the expectations are there, clear expectations are there, then you feel like, okay, there's a greater security there. And everybody has expectations, whether you've identified them, one, and two, communicated them. Now that's a different story. But we all have expectations. And a lot of it has to do with our upbringing. And the Garmins did a great job sharing about that. And we're going to reference a lot of what we shared to them and maybe just unpack a little bit more of what they shared. But a lot of it has to do with upbringing. If your mother cooked every day like mine did and brought us our food, you know, to the table, you know. And we had, you know, every day we had Spanish food. I mean, arroz con something, you know, arroz con habichuela, arroz con chuleta, arroz con rice and something. That's what we always had, rice and something. Christina came from a different background. You know, the first time she made lamb for me, I sat down, I came home from work, I sat down, I said, man, this steak looks amazing. I sat down. start eating that, they said, that's a different season to that thing. And then when we told my mom that she cooked lamb for me, she said, you killed Bambi? I'm like, I never had lamb in my life. But there's going to be an expectation there, right? If your father, you know, if your father was a provider and a protector, wives, you may expect that from your husband. You know, that they're going to do certain things. They're going to take care of certain things. House stuff, you know. If your dad was a handyman, if your dad was a mechanic, anything that has to do with a car, that's the man's responsibility, right? Clean the car. Fix the car, right? All that stuff. And so our upbringing really dictates a lot of our responsibility and our expectations. But often there's a breakdown in communicating, well, identifying first and then communicating expectations. And then thirdly, of course, meeting those expectations. So, you know, maybe you thought about your expectations when you got married. Maybe it was just a few things. Maybe it has grown. Maybe you didn't think about it at all. Maybe your expectations have changed because the reality of it is that as you go through different seasons of life, guess what? You gain different expectations for your spouse, right? So here's some signs of unmet expectations.
Signs that there may be unmet expectations in your marriage. Number one. If you roll your eyes every time your spouse forgets to do a household chore, you may have unmet expectations. If you feel like you should be having way more sex than you are, you may have unmet expectations. If you're complaining about your spouse to your friends on a consistent basis, you may have unmet expectations. If you can't understand why your spouse would ask you to do something again and again, they may have unmet expectations. You know, unmet expectations can lead to disappointment. And disappointment can lead to bitterness. Hebrews 12:15 says, see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Bitterness is a root that grows up and causes trouble.
That's right.
What's an example of trouble? Arguments, separation, tension, distance, fits of rage. It's a ripple effect that makes its way in your marriage. It says it defiles many. What does defile mean? It means to degrade. It means to spoil, to violate. The Greek word means to contaminate and pollute. Who are the many that you will be defiling? Well, let's start with your spouse. Let's start with your kids, your family, your hearers, as the garments mentioned. Your ministry, your livelihood will be impacted by the bitterness that grows.
Yeah, and bitterness ends up causing sin. So disappointment, bitterness, sin. Mm-hmm. Sin, discord, and dissension. We look at Galatians 5:19. We know that scripture, Galatians 5:19 through 21. Sexual immorality, drunkenness, debauchery. We talk about those things. Discord and dissension are in that list. That is a sin. And discord is that separation that you have with your spouse, that anger that you have, that when you have unresolved conflict, when there's dissension. So that's a sin before God, right?
Yeah. In Deuteronomy 29:18, you can write that down. It says, make sure there is no man or woman, clan or tribe among you today whose heart turns away from the Lord our God to go and worship the gods of those nations. Make sure there is no root among you that produces such bitter poison. You know, bitter roots are a sign that we've turned away from God. And as a result, poison flows into our marriages. You know, if we're wondering, why are we having so many arguments? Why can't we see eye to eye? Why are we going at it? Why do we talk like that to one another? Would we talk like that to other people, like the way we talk to our spouses? You know, poison is trying to seep into your marriage and you got to cut it off. You know, so how do we get back on track when this poison has infiltrated our marriage? You know, what do we do with our expectations and how do we meet those of our spouse? How about we start with the Creator and the expectations God has laid out for us? And our first point is to start with me. Start with me. That's the hard part, right? Because it's like when we think of expectations, it's all about pointing the finger at the other person. But it really needs to start with us. What should the expectations for ourselves look like? Let's figure those out first, and then we'll turn to our spouse. Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to read this passage. Which is, you know, the Spirit of the Lord is moving because the garments alluded to it. I don't know how you could have a marriage retreat, though, without Ephesians chapter 5. So, and I think we were on the same page because we typically will start in verse 22. But we wanted to, again, look and start in verse 15 because the instructions that were given as spouses is after instructions that were given as Christians. So let's start there in verse 15. And I'm going to read at the NLT. It says, "So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves and making music to the Lord in your hearts. And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and further submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." We could just like stop the marriage retreat right there. We don't even have to go on to wives, because think about it. If this was your household every day, right? Look at these words. Be careful. Be wise. Make the most of every opportunity. Those days are evil. I love what the garment shared. You don't know what your spouse went through that day. You don't know what they had to face. They were under attack. They are coming home. You know, be thoughtful. Think about what God wants you to do. We could just have a whole marriage retreat on that first, too. Keep a sober and focused mind. You know, ask God to dwell in you. Be thankful for everything. I loved Dr. Garmin, what you shared. I'm just going to be thankful. Yeah. Having that attitude. And submit to God, men and women. You know, this means that we're taking direction from God and not ourselves, not the world, and not even our spouses. Yeah. That's one of the little nuggets I think Gene Johnson gave us, was like, I have resolved to treat my husband the way God wants me to treat him, no matter how he treats me that day. And I remember as a young maid looking at Jean like she was crazy. I'm like, is that in the Bible somewhere? Well, actually, it was.
It's such a great point about culture influencing our conviction. Yeah. Like when they grew up, it was one thing. Not us, we're in a whole different world, but some of it is coming back. That feminist movement is still there. I mean, if we look at, I mean, the straight man is being destroyed. I mean, anything that a straight man does, especially a straight white man, I'm sorry, Dr. Joe, I mean, it's like, it's over. They can do nothing right. We cannot let the culture define our convictions. Like what the Bible says about what God expects from us as people and as spouses and in a marriage has to be our conviction. We can't be swayed by Black Lives Matter movement. They say, they say straight up, we don't need men. This is a community, women, we can handle it all. We don't need men, right? I mean, they say that straight up on their website. So we got to start thinking about, okay, how is culture, all the stuff that I'm looking at Facebook, everything that my friends are saying about their spouses on Facebook or on social media, right? What the news is saying about marriage, like all that stuff goes into our psyche.
Right.
And so that's why it's so important to make sure that culture does not define our conviction. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Even now, it has to be the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if we had this focus, there would be a lot more encouragement in our marriages. And it would probably prepare us for what comes next. Because in verse 22, you know, God kind of hits us with it. For wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For a husband is the head of his wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He is the savior of his body, the church. As the church submits to Christ, so you must submit to your husbands in everything. I don't know how many times the word submit is in here, but it's a lie. I feel like God is like, submit, submit, submit. Submit, submit, submit.
We don't like that.
I know, it's hard. I mean, even examples in the Bible. Sarah calls her husband Master. Master. Y'all like the sound of that. Why is it so hard to submit? For me, thank you, because we're so prideful. But here's the thing. You know all those talents we have, like the organizing, the being thoughtful, the problem solving? They are not designed to take charge in our marriage. They are to prepare us to be helpers and supporters and encouragers, not the authoritative figures. You know, ask ourselves, we got to as wives, in what ways do I need to be a more submissive wife? What would that look like? You know, for me, to be honest, I mean, I have a good. I'm not going to lie. Angel Maldonado is an amazing partner. He constantly makes me feel like we're a team. He doesn't lord over me. It's pretty rare that he pulls rank, is what I call it, when he's like, I hear what you're saying, yeah, and I love you, but this is what we're going to do. Like, you're 99. Like, 99% of the time, we're a team, you know? And then to find the 1% that he doesn't, I'm like, what? You know? But I have a good.
But I don't have to pull rank because of how submissive she is. I mean, I don't have to pull rank every once in a while. Right, but yeah, for the most part, that submission is there. And so we submit to one another to see what's best for in our relationship with God, what's best for our marriage, what's best for our family. That's what we're really trying to figure out. Uh-huh. And it's not like what's best for just me. We're really in this thing together.
So my challenge lies when Angel tries to correct me in certain areas. Like, I used to kind of fight him on everything. Like, you know, honey, I really think, yeah, okay, yeah, I hear what you're saying. Like, you know, and I've kind of surrendered and stuff like that. You know, it's like, I think you need to slow down. You know, you tend to do this. Your characters do this. Okay, I'm, you know, I've grown in that. The challenging stuff for me is like, you know, work and ministry stuff. Y'all realize I work for my husband. Like, I went from like managing to like, I told people I'm his glorified administrative assistant. And so that's not easy all the time, you know? And sometimes, honey, I think we should do this with the ministry. You know, you stay in your lane, I stay in mine. I think this is what's gonna, let's take my event planning background, okay? And why don't you listen to me? So those are the times when I have to really fight to be submissive and listen and know he knows me and has great, you know, anyway. So those are the challenging times for me when I want to go in, but I kind of have to like appreciate, you know, amen. Yeah, yeah, you know, the hair.
Verse 25, for husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave himself up for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy without fault. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man who loves his wife actually loves, shows love for himself. No one hates his own body, but feeds and cares for it, just as Christ cares for the church, and we are members of his body. So for husbands, our job is to love. And that is a sacrificial love. To give ourselves up, to work on actively, deliberately, and intentionally work on presenting our wives radiant. And so that doesn't mean like I'm always telling Christina what to do or what she should do better. Really, and we touched on this already, what we have found out is that positive reinforcement works way better than being critical. Our philosophy is when one of us does something, this is where, even for our parenting, that is right, that is godly, and even when they show like a desire or the fruit of their repentance, like we go nuts. Like we make a huge deal about it. And we do that consistently because we know that positive reinforcement, hey, You're a great dad, Dr. Joe. Hey, you did it. I mean, that stuff you really do start to believe in. And so we think that by being critical, we have to get out what we're going to say as men. Like, I got to get her to do what I want her to do, or this is how she's going to grow spiritually. When really we got to think more about how can we encourage the good that she is already doing. And what I've learned is, like, we need encouragement more than anything else. I mean, most of us know where we fall short. Now, the problem is we're too prideful to admit it sometimes, and we are insecure, and so we're not humble about it, but we know where we fall short. We're wrestling with that in our minds and in our hearts, so we need the encouragement. But there's a loving self-denial, self-sacrifice that Jesus has for us, for the church. And, you know, I've always said that, as you know, there's a reason why God set up, like, the way we're supposed to go through life, from, you know, for us, even as a culture, we're dating, you know, to engagement, to marriage, and then to kids, right? Because when I started dating as a Christian, I'm like, man, this is the ultimate form of self-denial right here, man. Woo, this is, I got to start thinking about somebody else. And then we got engaged. I'm like, oh, no, this is the ultimate self-denial. You know, I got to, you know, let her, what she wants for the marriage, and we gotta start thinking about finances. Then we get married. No, this is the ultimate form of self-denial. Then we have kids. I'm like, this is the ultimate, man. So it doesn't, it just keeps growing. But God gives it to us in pieces if we do it His way. If we don't, there's still grace, and He still allows us to learn that. But it's more challenging because we're forced to deny ourselves in ways that we haven't grown to yet. But, you know, as men, that is really what we have to grow in, because we're just by nature so stinking selfish. But I'm so proud of all these men in this room today. If you did not know, ladies, this is one of the most important Saturdays in the college football season. Championship Saturday, conference championship, man. But you know what? We are here denying ourselves. I just wanted the ladies to know, ladies, just in case you didn't know that, the men are here because they love you more than football. Amen. So what does this mean for us as men? One, we can't meet, checking the score. We can't meet our spouse's expectations without being submissive to one another, and we can't do it, men, if we don't practice self-denial and self-sacrificial love. And what does that mean for us? It means that when we come home from work, we can't shut down.
That's right. Yeah.
We just can't. We want to. We're tired. We've been through it. We've been through conversations. We've been through the spiritual battle. But we have to prepare ourselves to give. Our wives and our families, our wives are our first love, not our leftovers. Right? They're our priority, not our problem. Okay? So if they're our first love and not our leftovers, our priority and not our problem. If it comes to a point in our lives, brothers, when our job is more of a priority than our wives, that's the problem. If we get to the place where we feel like, man, the issue's at home, I'd rather be out working because there's this problem at home that I have to deal with when I get home, that's a problem. And so we got to make sure that we don't shut down. Yeah, we want to just watch a little TV. Yeah, we want to. And you know what? Some of that is healthy. You know, wives, give your husband a little bit of time just to be able to re-energize, whatever that need, you know, whatever that means, so that we as husbands, we got to make sure that we spend time connecting and loving our wives in that.
Yeah, an example of that, I used to get pretty discouraged every day when Angel got home and he would, like, you know, watch TV or something. Or I'm kind of like a little doggy. I was waiting at the door. Like, I just want to tell him what happened. And he'd be like, hey, you know, like, he just. And so we had to talk about it. And he was like, if you could just give me 5 minutes, like, just 5 minutes, then that would really help me to give. And, you know, the rebellion would be, why you need 5 minutes? You know, you should be as excited to talk to me as I'm excited to talk to you. But I'm like, amen, I'm going to submit, and, you know, do it your way. And it, like, helped out so much. He just needed 5 minutes. I had stuff to do anyway, and he came ready to give. And so it's like, whatever works, whatever your spouse needs, you know.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing. one of the more convicting scriptures in the Bible, Matthew 7:3, where it talks about why worry about a speck in your friend's eye, your spouse's eye, when you have a log in your own. How can you think of saying to your friend, your spouse, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye, when you can't see the past log in your own eye? Hypocrite! First get rid of the log in your own eye, then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's, in your spouse's eye. And so much of it is, what does God expect from us? Everything starts with us, making sure that we are growing our relationship with God, making sure that we're building these convictions for who we need to be before God, before we start telling our spouse everything they need to do for us. Yeah. All right? So, first one, start with me. Second point, listen to them. Listen, 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 listen. James 1:19. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. So we need to have a learner's heart. We need to listen. We need to strive to understand. And I'll say this. Sometimes as we listen and we are learning about our spouse and their expectations, one good thing to understand is just ask the next question. Okay, so if you're having a hard time understanding why would my wife want me to put the seat down on the toilet? I just don't understand. Why does my wife expect me to help her with the children when I get home, when I just need a little break? Why, you know, just ask the next question. Mm-hmm. Ask one more question. Get to know the why. And, but guess what? Sometimes you're not going to understand. You're just not. Like, it's not going to make sense to you. But you know, that's when that submission comes in. That's when we just yield. We say, you know, I don't understand that, but I'm still willing to let go of what I think is best, what I think is right, because this is going to meet your needs and meet your expectations.
Yeah, I feel like that's why you have one part. You have one good person to like learn for your whole. And so you're really trying to characterize what their definition of love is and meeting their expectations. You know, listening is so hard. I could relate to, you know, whenever Angel's having a conversation or sharing his mind, and I'm thinking like, I'm already thinking about my comeback. Like, I know, okay, finish so that I can, you know, tell you what it really is. But that really hinders me from being able to listen to what my husband is saying. You know, there's a difference between hearing and listening. You know, you can hear all types of things, but it's really taking the time to listen and process what you're hearing that's going to help you grow and learn. You know, here's where that love is patient comes in. It takes time to listen. You know, something we also we're going to talk about was those nonverbal cues.
Yeah.
You know, pay attention to the mood changes.
Yes.
Okay, when you said something in the mood, you know what I'm talking about, the mood change.
The mood changes.
Ask the question, what just happened?
Yes.
Angel would used to say that to me. So the mood just changed. Did something happen? Like,
did I say something?
And it really, you know, pay attention to what makes them happy.
Yes.
Pay attention to what makes them struggle. Pay attention to what builds them up and what tears them down. You know, you're smart. You know, it's not like, oh, I had no idea that. You know, we pick up on a lot. God has given us what we need to pick up on a lot.
Right.
You know, you know, when those cues come in, it's like the moment of truth, right? Like, oh, he looks upset. Okay, I have a choice here. I'm either gonna like try or I'm gonna walk away, right? You know, I don't know why this came up, but one of my most dreaded ones is when my husband walks over to the refrigerator. Okay, he opens it up. He stands there and he sighs. Refrigerator is full of food, okay? Because after sex, it's food to my husband, okay? Puerto Rican culture. And so I know what I need to say is, honey, would you like for me to fix you a plate?
Like that? That's what I'm saying? Like that?
No.
Yeah.
them out. Do I say it? Do I not say it? The kids need something. I'm tired.
So here's the thing. What do you see when I do that?
I see like a grown man.
Sometimes. But as a man, we are conditioned to just go look in the fridge. Like, there's times I'm just walking by the fridge. I just want to see. Like, what? So I'm opening the fridge and I'm sighing like, like that's a release for some reason. Like, I may want something, I might not. I might close it and go watch the game. I'm cool. Now, but sometimes I'm like, what am I going to eat, huh? But sometimes it's not even that serious. So that's the difference in that non-verbal. Would you like me to get you something to eat? No, I don't. I'm sorry.
The spiritual battle.
Okay, I'm going. Have you had some? I was actually thinking about something. I'm looking at the fridge and thinking about something else. I'm like, okay, I gotta do this afterwards. I gotta do that. That's just how men do it. Men need the cold, fresh air. I don't know what to do.
I don't ever see it like that. But in the moment of the spiritual battle, when the nonverbal cues are getting sent your way, make a decision. I'm gonna do what God wants me to do. There's also the verbal ones. These are the obvious ones. You know, when you're in a disagreement, stop thinking about your argument. You know, seek to get understanding. Really listen to the words that they're saying. Pay attention to the emotions that are shown. For me, a lot of times I have to like counsel myself, just get over yourself. I like what Dr. Garvin said, you know, just, we ain't got time for that, okay? One of our slogans, which people have heard us say many times, you can either be happy or you can be right, okay? And so I have to make this decision. How important is it for me to be right now? Is it more important for me to be happy? Okay, well then I'm gonna have to yield and I'm gonna have to listen carefully to what he's saying, make Jesus Lord, and respond in a way that shows love. You know, listening shows there's a genuine concern for your spouse. Like, there's a certain security there where it's like, wow, they're really listening to me. They're really taking it in. You know, are you making it easy for your spouse to talk to you? Do you consistently ask them how they're feeling? Come on. Do you consistently ask if there's anything that you can work on? Is your spouse intimidated to talk to you? I think in couples, there's kind of one that's generally intimidated to share with the other person. It's not even that the other person is like lording over them, but it's just, there's something about it where they don't feel comfortable sharing their opinions. And so it's like, we gotta, like, as the one that can be the intimidator, you may be shocked that you're the intimidator, but we kind of really have to, like, it's, they have to work on their stuff, but it's mostly like we have to make them, I think, feel comfortable with talking about that.
And it's about different topics, right? Mm-hmm. So believe it or not, man, we can feel intimidated about talking to our spouse about sex. Mm-hmm. Like, because it's so, you know, cliche, the man wants more sex. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, as men, we're like, I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be selfish. I don't want to ask for more. I don't want to, you know. And so we struggle with that. Even though we may not be totally fulfilled, we say, well, I don't want to rock the boat right now with that. Yeah. So we may be intimidated in that. And then other, you know, my wife may be intimidated. She has been intimidated talking to me about finances. Mm-hmm. Why? Because I just don't want to talk about it. You gonna be all right? I'm making money. I'm working hard. And she takes care of our finances, right? And so I just, at that moment, it's not like I'm mad at her or anything. I just don't want to give the emotional energy to think at that moment about that and hear the expectations and the goals that she has at that moment. But the thing about it that she has grown so much in is figuring out ways. Good timing. Timing is everything. When the talk to your spouse. Let's talk about some expectations. That kind of leads into an expectation, right? Let's talk about some expectations. Expectation at night.
Right.
When I'm done. I work hard all day. I think about other people. I'm fixing problems. I'm doing all kinds of stuff. I get home, I get into bed, I want to connect with my wife. Okay? Now, there are some barriers to that. You know, sometimes, you know, my wife likes to talk about finances in the bed. Sometimes my wife likes to talk about tomorrow's schedule, the week's, the month's schedule in the bed. Sometimes we get in the bed and we just want to be on our phones. And we're looking, one person look at their phone, another person look at their phone. Usually, I'm like, all right, I'm you know, I'll put it down, I'm ready. She's trying to finish something up that she's looking at on Facebook. I'm getting mad. I'm like, timing is everything. Yeah. So one of the things that we talked about for that is like we don't have a TV in our room. Mm-hmm. We don't have a TV in our room. Now here's the challenging thing for my part. So my part for a long time, I would expect that because I thought that's just what you were supposed to do at night. You know what I'm saying? And because of my lifestyle, I was just out, I wanted to connect with my wife. But I wouldn't connect with her at all throughout the day. Mm-hmm. So she wanted, you know, you start being, you know, you're married and you're around each other a lot more, and so we'd be walking around the house and she would want hug breaks. Uh-huh. Like just in the moment of, you know, we're doing something, all of a sudden she's like, and this is, so I'll be her and she's gonna be me, all right? I'm you and you're me. Okay, so
I'm you.
Oh,
honey. Okay. And I'm like, we're doing something right now. Why you want to hug? Give me a second, you know? I'm not calling. Texting, yeah, I would think about her, but I wouldn't let her know I was thinking about her. Like, of course I was thinking about her. But I wouldn't let her know. And so it's like by the time we get to at night, and I'm like,
exactly.
Yeah, she's like, you ain't talking to me all day. And so I didn't know I was supposed to do that. Right? And so that's what she expected. Intimacy and connection throughout the day, I expected it at night.
Yeah.
And so we had to work through it.
Yeah, and both people were hurt. So then we would sit in D-time with Paxis, and Angie'd be like, yeah, I've been initiating at night, and Christina's saying no. I'm like, what are you talking about? And I'm bawling, and so I just didn't know he was seated as that, and then he got to hear my perspective about you don't have no time for me during the day, and then you kind of, you know, want to come. I mean, it was like it was like Jekyll and Hyde. It was like market, and then, oh, baby, I'm so grateful for you. Oh, my God, I'm so good. Oh, you're the best thing ever. And I'm like, I try to connect with you all day. So expectations not being met, we had to come to a mutual agreement, which his agreement was, since you've been rejecting me, I'm going to make you initiate all the time, and I'm gonna wait on you.
So that's my pride kick. So my initiation. right? Let's talk about.
Why are you gonna pronounce it like
initiation?
That?
Here's my thing. At the end of the day, I'm thinking about. Well, throughout the day, right. I'm thinking about
right.
sex.
So that's true.
Just about every night when we would turn off the TV, or we get done with the day, we're going upstairs, I'm like, am I gonna get some day? I'm going in with an expectation. Is this gonna be a good night? You know what I'm saying? Like, and so for me, I'm my initiation may be to say something like, you tired? She thinking about sex as much as I was thinking about sex. But she was thinking about quality time as much as I'm thinking about sex. So there's a, guys, the way you think about sex, she's thinking about quality time. The way, sisters, the way you're thinking about quality time, he's thinking about sex.
Or we've something else.
Happen.
Yes.
We've seen that happen. So those expectations that we have for domestic, the, you know, chores, cleaning, cooking, like that matters, right? The expectations we have with our finances, like who's going to take care of the finances? Who's going to, you know, provide? Who's going to take care of the children? You know, when we were talking about having kids, I was ready to have kids before she was. And she's like, what'd you say?
I said, well, we had a 5-year time plan, or you know, timeline. And year 4, Angel's like, honey, I think I'm ready. I said, we had a plan 5 years. And he's like, I said, it's going to be a lot of work. He said, but honey, I will be helping you. I said, you will. But I'm mama, so I'm going to be the one saying, can this kid feed this kid, changing these diapers? So I think we should continue with the timeline.
I'm like, no, we're going to do this together.
Who's carrying the baby? Who's pushing the baby out? Okay.
I didn't see that. Like, I didn't understand that. Like, I was ready, you know what I mean? And so even with kids, and then having kids and then not having kids anymore.
Oh, Lord.
So, you know, we have 2 beautiful little girls.
Yes.
And I'm completely happy, but I wasn't ready to stop having kids when Aria came about. So what happens is now when...
So previously you were ready. I mean, we were ready to stop having kids.
Yeah, we just wanted one.
We were going to cut it. Well, no. When I was pregnant with Aria, it was like, this is the last one. And then we get to the appointment,
right,
and we're discussing making sure this is the last one. And Angel's like, well...
It was so fine though, because you know, like you're going to... when the doctor said, you can go, I can go in entire tubes once, you know, I'm already down there kind of thing. I'm like, oh, I got skin. So it was just too much. Like, and then she's like, okay, well, if I don't get this, then it's on you. Yeah. It's on me then. Until it was like, okay, it's on you. And I'm like, I'm not ready. I just was not ready. And so she was pushing for me to be more ready. I was pushing to not be ready because I'm like, we just wanted to have one, but then we wanted to have Ari. What if that happens again? You know? And so, you know, we had to think and pray.
I was struggling. I was like legit struggling. I was struggling. And so we thought we prayed, but we pulled together the Pattisons, the Mercados, the Macalusos. We sat down at a round table. This is the situation. We need help because Maldonado said, I'm trying to be patient. Oh, this is a big decision. And I want to be patient. But, you know, how many months do you need? Like, I was struggling.
Yeah, and so I just needed time to process. And so when things like that come up, you know, what we try to do is instead of saying, which was my temptation, is just, I'm not ready. Don't talk to me about it no more. Like, I'm tired of the nagging. Like, stop asking me about it. Like, I'll let you know when I'm ready. That's what I wanted. He said, no, that ain't gonna work. But we get to that place when we're clashing in, we're just like, and we don't resolve it. We just put it to the side, but it's still there. Yeah. And it affects other conflicts that we may have, right? Mm-hmm. And so what we try to do is we try to say, and this is what we ended up doing, is say, okay, you're not ready now. You're not ready to make a decision now. Let's check back in a month, in 6 months. So
a
at
year.
Least a year. And so at least she knows that, okay, I'm still going to be thinking about it and praying about it, but just give me some time. You know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. so that was good. And what ended up happening was I had to talk with my brother who was like, why are you going to want to have another kid? You're gonna be, you know, you're gonna be older than age. You're not gonna want to have. And it just for some reason, somebody else said, "I was like, yeah, you're right."
And then okay. I had a pregnancy scare. And was like, "Oh snap, no, we."
Let me. Know. So God will pray when there's that unresolved. Let's pray. God will make it clear, but give each other that time to come together through that communication. Yeah.
I was going to say, I think ultimately you have your expectations. It's going to take some time to resolve them and work through them. But that's what, I mean, you're on a journey. So
right.
You're going to work through those expectations. You're going to talk through them. You're going to come to resolutions. And ultimately, you know, I think it starts too with, well, what, as you're communicating what your expectations are, you know, what are my expectations and how I do well, and what role should my spouse play in that? Because your spouse is not going to be able to meet all the expectations you have
right.
in life. Like, God, you're going to need a team. God needs to be number one on that team.
Right.
Your spouse will play a role, but you're going to need a team of people that can help to meet your needs, and to place that all on your spouse is too much pressure.
Yeah.
And it really sets them up to fail. You know, this trend on social media, hashtag my everything, he's my everything, she's my everything. I don't know that that's necessarily a good thing. You know, it's not biblical. We're a team together. He's my number one. We are one, but he cannot meet every need I have in order to function as a person.
And are those expectations, as you identify your expectations, are they realistic?
Yeah.
Are they realistic to have that expectation on your spouse specifically? Like, is that person built in a way where they can meet that need?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Can they? They may not be able to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, so is it realistic? And if it's not, where do we compromise?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So husbands, I want my wife to cook me dinner every single night. Is that realistic for that person? And then two, is that realistic for the season in your life?
Mm-hmm.
It may be later on. But you may not get all your expectations met at this specific
right.
season in your life.
Right.
And you may not get all your expectations met with your spouse.
Right.
It just may never happen.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit, praise God, if you're submissive, God will bless that. And you strive to be selfless, God will bless that. But there's just some things that we are who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And we marry each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so... Think about, are they even realistic? The last thing is just investing in we. And we talked a little bit about this at a recent midweek. But invest in we. And we really want to just talk about that there's a return there when we invest in one another. And really, Jesus set this example when he sacrificed his life. Philippians 2 and verse 5. We'll wrap things up here. Philippians 2 verse 5. In your relationships with one another. In your relationships with one another. And all those one another, all those one another scriptures, number one, goes with your spouse.
Mm-hmm.
Live that's tough enough to live out right there. The one another scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
In relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. So in our relationship, our mindset should be Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So Jesus laid down his life. He served us, his church. He became nothing. And what did God do? Exalt him.
Yeah.
So when we invest, when we sacrifice, when we do what we're supposed to do to be like Jesus, then God will meet our needs and God will exalt us. You know, a great example of this really has been the last few months for me. I mean, we've been married 12 years. And so, you know, as men, there's a certain dignity that we have about ourselves. And just for me, for myself, there's a certain pride about myself, like, I need to be the spiritual leader of the house. I need to be strong. I grew up being, you know, oldest son of a single mom. And so I've always had to be the strong one. I've always had to help fix the problems. I've always had to be going and going and going and make sure that, hey, I'm good because I got to make sure I take care of it. As a pastor, right? There's a responsibility and an expectation there, right? That others can put on me, or I put on myself. Like, I got to be strong for the church, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so over the last few months after Kavi passed away, like, this has been like the weakest time in my life spiritually, where I thought I understood what it meant to be weak.
Mm-hmm.
Now I know. I know what it's like to want to do what I know I should do.
Mm-hmm.
And then not have the strength to do it.
Right. Come on, Angel.
I mean, I've always had the self-motivation, the willpower, the strength I'd muster up. So I'm easily inspired. So if I have bad days, I mean, I can read the Bible, I can pray, I can go see a movie, and I'm ready to go again. Yeah. You know, like, I get inspiration from just about every movie. I see children's movies, you know, Moana, and I'm like, I'm ready to go again. And for the last few months, I would be inspired for the moment, and the next day I was like, why can't I go? Why can't I? And my wife has been there for me every step of the way.
That's right.
And she has been my strength. And so for a long time, I feel like I've been the you know, stronger part. I feel like I have. We can listen. But I feel like I've taken pride in that.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm going to do everything I have to do to work on my marriage. I want to have a great marriage. Happy or right. We're going to be happy. I'm going to lead with humility. I mean, I've had all this stuff that I've learned. I've taught a lot of people. Right? So giving to my wife, making those sacrifices, giving the children so many times that I've wanted to compromise, so many times. And I said, I'm thinking about my wife, thinking about my girls. And then I'm seeing the result on the investment in my marriage. That in a moment of weakness, my wife has been strong. And it's hard. I'm looking at her, I'm like, she's so strong. Like, I wish I could be strong like her. And then I'm like, man, God has given me her during this time for her to encourage me and support me. And because I haven't been able to be that person that I think I should be, there's a lot of discouragement that comes up, right? And in that discouragement, like, I was open with her just a few days ago. It's like, I feel like I just haven't, I'm not, like, where is that angel? It's not there. And then she just started telling me all the ways that I've grown, all the ways that, you know, like, that she sees me fighting through all that stuff, right? And then I'm like, wow, like, that's what I needed. After that, I felt like I could fight another day.
Yeah.
And then, on top of that, she initiated intimacy. That helps a lot.
Yeah.
That helps a lot.
Absolutely.
And so at low moments,
what I learned from us.
At low moments, you know, that intimacy and that sexual intimacy has helped too. And so I'm just talking about there, if we do it God's way,
Amen.
And we sacrifice and we invest, there is a return on that investment. And I've seen it in my own life. I'm living it out right now. Romans 15:1 says, those who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak. I don't know where you are right now, who's the stronger one right now. It's not always going to be like that. But remember, there will be a time when you are weak.
That's right.
And so think about treating your spouse during those weak times in the way you would want to be treated during the times when you are weak. And so the times when you're strong and they're weak is not a time to be critical. It's not a time to say, you know, why are you not doing this? Why are you not doing that? It's a time to be patient, love, encourage, support. And then, you know, it will come around for you. So thank you guys so much.